OTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on? My name is Stephen Knight, and you're listening to The Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank you all for joining us again tonight. We have another great show lined up for you. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. Tonight, we're all about music. In our next half hour, we are live with the one and only Mr. Trombone himself, Jeff Bradshaw. Then, many of you know that days before Untimely passed, Whitney Houston recorded several songs that will be featured on the soundtracks for upcoming movie Sparkle with Jordan Sparks. I will be playing the two songs she recorded. One is the soul-stirring rendition of His Eyes on the Sparrow, and the other one is an up-tempo song that R. Kelly produced with Jordan Sparks called Celebrate. As always, I want you to be part of our discussion, so call with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. You can also join us in chat. There is a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How was your weekend overall?
Right. I know it seemed like it's been a couple of weeks. Well, it has been a couple of weeks.
Right.
Memorial weekend was great. Last weekend was good. We went and you and I volunteered pretty much all day Saturday. So
right.
Thanks for coming out and doing that with me. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. It was a good thing, good experience, like you said.
And, right.
Look forward to doing more. What's going
Absolutely.
On with you? How you been?
I'm good. You know, Memorial weekend was great. Last week, like you said, we volunteered for, was it Open Hand or something like that? Is it called Open Hand?
Yep.
Open Hand, where we basically passed out delivered meals to elderly and disabled people. So it was interesting, but it was a good deed, so I'm glad we got to do it. So thanks again for inviting me to do that.
I know
Chike is on the line. What's going on, Chike?
Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Chike.
Miss Parker, what's going on?
Not much. Seems like it's been forever. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, we got a little holiday in between.
Of movies.
Yeah, I managed to see a couple movies. Adam, you on the line?
Yes.
Okay, Adam, you see a couple movies too?
Yep, I went to Snow White. Hey, Miss Parker.
How was your trip to Cali?
No, it was amazing. The weather was perfect. The atmosphere is perfect. It was a little too cold to go into the water when we went to the beach a couple times, but it was great.
Good.
Well, so, Adam, what did you see over the weekend? Over the 2 weeks, I should say.
I saw Snow White and the Huntsman, and if you want me to go into it, I can start it off.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, perfect. Snow White and the Huntsman is the typical Snow White story, so, you know, pretty much everyone knows the story. Snow White, the dwarves are in it, and, of course, the queen's in it with the mirror. And in this version, they added a little more with the Huntsman. And one of the reasons it's called Snow White and the Huntsman is because the studio decided to attract a more of a male audience, because Snow White alone was going to bring in a female audience. So the title was extended to include the Huntsman, which is played by Chris Hemsworth, the guy who did Thor. It was a good movie overall. I mean, you know, it wasn't the greatest movie. It is a fairy tale story, in my opinion, and so there are some parts that they didn't develop as much as I could have if you were watching, like, the Lord of the Rings or some other kind of fantasy movie. But overall, you know, they definitely filled you in the parts. It looks like it did cater to more of a teen or late teen audience, more of a female audience. The effects were good. The acting was good. Snow White's played by the girl who did Twilight, and her Kristen Stewart, and she did fine. And, of course, the Queen was played by, sorry, their name escapes me right now, but she did a great job also.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron, yes. Right. So, yeah, my thoughts are it was okay. I'd say it was probably a rental movie, but it did have a good female following, and I've seen a few people on Facebook, girls that were really a big fan of it. So that was my thoughts. What did you think, TK?
I thought that it was okay. I thought that Ms. Theron carried the movie. I happen to think that Kristen Stewart pretty much acts the same in every movie that she's in. Mm-hmm. Her delivery is always the same. She doesn't immerse herself into the character. So I don't believe that she's anyone else besides Kristen Stewart. Overall, I thought that the movie was a good movie. It was entertaining. Could it wait for DVD? Yes. I wouldn't say you necessarily need to go to the theater to see it, but I did, you know, me and my message is to Hollywood. This is a message to Hollywood. Original stories, you keep recycling the story. Here's an original story off this recycled story. How about try telling the story of the mirror? Maybe you can go a little further with that, where the mirror came from. Why did the mirror feel the need to be holding to the queen the way it was? Where did she get it from? What's its origin? I think that would be a more interesting storyline. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I agree. It's definitely like, you know, it is definitely a simpler story. They didn't really do anything that was out of the ordinary from the usual story.
Right. That was my take on that movie. I also saw Chernobyl Diaries. It's not even really worth mentioning. It was straight garbage, straight trash. Save your time, your money, and your energy. Don't even get it for DVD, seriously. Play Dominoes or something, seriously. It's not worth it.
Perfect.
Mm. Okay.
And that's pretty much it for me.
What movies are coming up that you guys are looking forward to?
Wow. I'm looking at Rock of Ages, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, Brave, which is a family movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, and ironically enough, I'm a little interested in Katy Perry's movie, since she's following in Madonna's footsteps with this whole, you know, look at me documentary thing. I'm a little curious about her life. I want to see what she has to offer.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. That one did definitely look good, the Katy Perry one. And for the other movies, Prometheus looks pretty good. And
exactly.
What else? The Spider-Man, of course, and the Dark Knight movie, of course.
Absolutely.
Looks pretty exciting.
And FYI, Adam, I don't even know if you knew this, but they're hinting that Prometheus is probably the prequel to all of the Alien movies.
Yeah, that's what I heard the rumor was, too, which is pretty interesting enough because, you know, he did the original story anyway. So it looks great, and everyone looks like it's going to be good in it.
All right. Well, we'll be definitely checking out, looking forward to hearing your reviews. But thank you all. But as always, we'll talk to you again next week. Have a hard time talking.
Absolutely.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot. All right, you too.
Aaron. I know a lot's going on with the playoffs. What's going on?
Yo, Steven, Ms. Parker. Man, Boston, Ms.
What's
Parker,
up, Aaron?
I gotta give you a big
right.
round of applause.
Gotta get your mind right.
I thought y'all were about to go fishing, man. I thought y'all were about to go to like Puerto Rico for the summer or something, Cancun, but nah, y'all. Rondo and Kevin Garnett.
They got heart.
Yeah.
Heart.
They don't play.
Yes. They don't play. They don't play. And anytime that you have a MVP winner on your team that's scared to take the final shot, there's a problem there. That's a big problem. Jordan would not have had that.
Yeah, I'm not a huge LeBron fan.
Yeah, Bron, baby. He he just, when it comes down to clutch, man,
he passes
off.
Yeah.
He's off.
Yeah.
My gosh, dude. You triple
right.
team. First of all, why do you wait until the triple team comes and then you pass it to, of all people, Haslam?
Right.
I mean, really. I would have rather LeBron shot that shot triple team than passing it to Haslam, who has to force up a shot. It was just silly.
Let me ask you a question. ESPN.com has a question on their website that says, who should take the last shot for the Heat in close games, LeBron James or Dwayne Wade? What do you think?
I'm going to say LeBron.
LeBron.
Just because LeBron has the height, LeBron has the size, he should have just taken it in. He would have gotten fouled. He would have gotten fouled. I don't get it, dude. You would have gotten fouled. Or you would have made the dang on layup or something. You would have gotten fouled something. But to just get a
LeBron is not
team,
he's not a quick thinker. He don't think.
He's not a student of the game.
He's naturally talented, but he's not a student of the game. So he's going to make mistakes like that because he doesn't study the game. He doesn't study the game of basketball. He's just naturally talented. So he just relies on that so much that he's not, you know, he doesn't make good decisions.
You can actually see it, Ms. Parker. Yeah, you're right. You can actually see it in his face. You can just see.
It's
like he's thinking on the go. He don't know what I'm going to do. Should I do this? Should I do that? I think also, like, he doesn't want – I mean, he's made clutch shots before. Back in Cleveland, he made – remember that top-of-the-key three-pointer, like, you know, 1 second left. He can make the shot. I don't get why he's not doing it. I don't understand. Ever since he's been in Miami,
he was a completely different person in Cleveland. He was more humble.
Yeah.
I think he played more of a team ball, even though it was just him. He was trying to build those guys up. He was more of a positive person, more of a – this superstar thing has really messed with his head, I think.
He was
a completely different person. He carried a whole team in Cleveland by himself. He did not have any support. I can barely name most of the guys on the Cleveland team. They weren't worth even mentioning. So he carried that team. He did well. But it's like when you put him with other people who are superstar, when it's time for him to shine, something happens.
Something happens.
So I don't know.
In that poll, over 50,000 people voted, and they thought Dwayne Wade should take the shot over LeBron James. It was 57% to 43%.
It seems like now, because if you watch the game, Wade in the overtime, like the last second in overtime, at least Wade got an open shot. That was a better play than what LeBron did at the end of regulation.
Right, yeah.
But also, though, I don't know if it's the coach also, because it seems like to me he doesn't have any plays. Like, they don't run any kind of plays. There's, like, no movement, no offensive flow. It's pretty much pass it to LeBron
pass it
to Wade. And just move it out the way.
Right.
Yeah.
I love Doc and his team.
I think the Boston Celtics is a coach.
I think at most teams should be mirror after them. These guys have heart. No matter what's going on, they're going to play together
really
as a team. They have one goal. And even Doc is part of that. You know what I mean? Like, you can see him cheering his guys on and being a, you know, just a team player all the way around. They work together. He knows that his guys are older. Guess what? He doesn't force them to practice during playoffs. There's no practice because he knows they can't handle practice. And so you have to know your team.
Adjustments.
And you have to know what's going on. Yeah. So that's the difference.
Big,
that's
true. Big
but
difference.
I'm glad Miami is doing everything wrong. So hopefully we can pull it through.
So what about
I'm not complaining at all.
Ms. Parker, if Boston wins tomorrow, then the series is over. So,
I agree.
You heard it here first. If Boston
wins tomorrow,
Miami, it's over. It's over. So hopefully Miami will win. I still want Oklahoma City, Miami to be in the finals. I'm sorry, Ms. Parker.
We'll
have to see what happens. Spurs are actually losing at halftime to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Oh, also, you guys, be on the lookout. There, within the next couple of years, there will probably be a new stadium in Atlanta for the Falcons. So,
oh wow,
Arthur Blank wants a new stadium. He says that the Georgia Dome is obsolete now. It's, you know, it's old. Which to me is not old. It's actually 20 years old.
I saw
old,
that on the news. I don't know. The fans are not really supporting it because he's trying to do it outdoors. Nobody's trying to be sitting outside.
Right. Well, I actually read now that he changed it, and he wants a retractable roof stadium so that they can open and close.
Okay.
With
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
he changed.
Yeah. The option.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, so you can have the option of either or. But pretty much what it is that he's seeing, you know, Dallas has their stadium, the Giants and the Jets up in New York have their stadium. Like, there's, like, a lot of teams out now that have these new, you know, stadiums, these, you know, half a billion to a billion-plus dollar stadiums. And the
Georgia
Dome
is kind of
– yeah. And I actually love the Dome. I love the Georgia Dome. I mean, I think it's great. I think it's hot. But, you know, they want to kind of move on to something, you know, newer, shinier, prettier. So we'll have to see what happens. But, yeah, be on the lookout for that within the next couple of years.
These folks got so much money around these parks.
I know, right?
That's what it
right.
is.
Right.
Exactly. I heard Tiger Woods made history I'm trying to find what he did. He won the most, whatever. I don't know. I have to find it. But I was reading earlier that he made history in the last tournament, the Memorial Day tournament he was in.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, can I mention one?
He won tournament over the weekend.
Okay.
So he has the most wins or something like that.
Yeah, he ties Jack Nicklaus.
Oh, Tiger Woods, yeah. Awesome. Tiger's back, y'all. Tiger, I don't know what happened to him now, but it's good.
He got his mind right, yeah.
He's got his mind right. He's got a little swag back, and it's about time. It's good to see. It really is
definitely
good to see.
Congratulations to him. Yeah.
But also wanted to mention this really, really quickly also. The whole Sean Combs' son scholarship, football scholarship drama.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to
talk
about that in my entertainment, but.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
How do you feel about that?
I just
mentioned
that real
quick. How do you feel?
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I feel that if he earned the scholarship, then, you know, then he earned the scholarship. You know, it's.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important.
Yeah.
I think it's important for celebrities to teach their kids that it's okay for you to earn your own way through life.
Oh, yeah.
Just
because
I have it doesn't mean you can't achieve and get a 3.9 and earn your own scholarship to school. But I think Diddy is handling it wrong. I don't blame his son. I think his son did a great job. I think it's a wonderful thing that he's even smart enough to say, you know what, I'm going to earn my way through school no matter what's going on. I'm going to be a smart student and do, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think that's great, but I think Diddy is handling it wrong because Denzel Washington's son was in the same situation. Scholarship for academics and sports, and Denzel, without even all this press and all this stuff, he just went ahead and said, you know what, son, you did a great job, but there are other kids out there that need a scholarship. You don't need it, so we're going to go ahead and donate it to another student. That's how you handle things. But, you know, Diddy's on Twitter talking about he's going to be in a strip club and he's going to throw $2 million and all this.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just think, dude, I think he's handling it wrong. I don't think it has anything to do with the school because the school is saying, you know, he earned it. I agree with that. And I don't think it has to do with his son. I think his son earned it, so he should have it. But I think Diddy, as a grown-up, as a parent, he needs to step up and say something.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of controversy because, you know, a lot of people who aren't in the public eye, like a lot of rich people, their children get scholarships in these Ivy League schools and whatnot. Like, even Joe Montana, his son did. You know, a lot of people, it just doesn't make the press.
I think that's true. I think because they groom their kids to kind of, you know, find their own way. And I think that's great. I think it shouldn't be a double standard, though, but I do think even those people should maybe do the same thing. It wouldn't be public, but they should donate that to another student. But it should be a student that qualifies as well with academic, because I don't believe in handouts. If you know me, I do not believe in handouts.
Someone
who is deserving as well, who worked hard academically and athletically. to get the scholarship. So it should be someone who maybe the school going to get was only able to get five. And there's a sixth person who did well as well, but it wasn't, you know, the school couldn't afford it.
Right.
That type of thing. But I don't think it should be a handout to someone who sat through school, didn't do their work, and just, oh, because you're poor. No, I don't believe in that.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, yeah, that's a great point because there are many situations where, like, schools, you know, want to get that one more player, but they don't have enough scholarship money. So,
yeah.
So they can't get that player. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be hot. You know, Diddy could be like, yo, you know, Justin, you know, you can either accept the scholarship and then I'll give a check for like, you know, $80,000, $100,000, whatever the scholarship costs to the school, and then they can use that money for a scholarship, or I'll just pay whatever your scholarship is for yourself and then give back your scholarship and give it to somebody else. Either way. But yeah, something should be done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just on good faith kind of thing, you know. Just
I agree. He doesn't have to, but just on good faith.
Yeah,
I got you. Definitely get you.
I think that goes for him and all the other wealthy parents out there, not just Diddy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But yeah, Justin Combs, we're proud of you, man. Good job. No one,
congratulations.
You know, knocking you for that. Yeah. Good job. All right. One more thing. I'm on Instagram now, so
I just
signed up. Yeah. So I'm like loving it.
You need to put some pictures on there. But no, that's
no
good.
Comment.
I don't have many pictures on mine either.
You know,
right. I don't have none yet either.
I have,
but
like,
that was me. I've seen them, Steven. You got a photo shoot. We already know.
Yeah, y'all can
shaking my head.
Instagram, y'all. Right. Ms. Parker, I was shocked to see Ms. Parker on Instagram, but she did it. So that's great.
Yeah,
all right, everyone. Well, thank you.
No problem, y'all. You all have a good night.
All right.
You
all
too.
Right, have a good night.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, Ms. Parker, what's going on in entertainment?
I wanted to talk about this when Aaron was on the phone, but I totally forgot. Lil Wayne was banned from the OKC and Spurs game, the last game, because something with training. Supposedly, because he's a huge fan of Miami, he wants OKC to play. Or he wants OKC to play to play Miami. So he wants to be OKC here, you know, against Miami or whatever. And he's supposedly going out in clubs, talking about how he's in love with Trina, commenting on her body and stuff like that. But Trina is dating Harden, who is on OKC team. And supposedly he was banned because Harden told the owners, you know, that he didn't want him at the game.
Right,
So I thought that was pretty interesting or whatever. I guess he was told that he wasn't welcome there, and so he couldn't attend the game. So
apparently the OKC spokesperson said that that he was welcome to come to the game, but the seats were packed. They were booked, you know, and the people that usually get the front row seats and the, you know, seats that are close are season ticket owners, you know what I mean, people who come to all the games.
Okay, and just because he's a star, it wasn't going to make an exception or whatever. Okay.
Right, yeah. That's what they told him, but who knows? There could have been more to it, you know.
Yeah, it's just so much, you know, so many rumors going on with that, so I'm not sure what really, you know, the story is. And what's going on. But OKC is playing now. I'm not sure if he's there, but I think they're playing in where's the Spurs from? Look, San Diego or whatever.
San Diego.
So.
No, not San Diego. San Antonio.
Yes. One San Antonio, one of them.
Yeah.
I just went blank. San Antonio.
No, I know. Oh boy.
Right. I'm like, they're from somewhere on the west.
Right.
Supposedly the whole thing with Usher and his baby and his ex-wife is getting ugly.
Oh yeah.
I read something. She was saying that she wasn't the one who filed for sole custody, and that Usher was the one who filed for it. I didn't know that because I thought that I thought she did, because they've had joint custody, and I think that's only fair to share, you know, the kid.
Yeah.
But she said that he did, so I'm not sure what's behind that or why he would, but you know, I hope it ends up well for the kids' sake. Also, Stoudemire from the New York Knicks, he proposed to his girlfriend or baby mother, over the weekend, and Ciara supposedly tweeted a whole bunch of stuff and showed up to the MTV Awards with, like, all these ring engagement rings on her finger. That's so childish. I'm not sure why she would do that, because that's kind of embarrassing, but, you know, I wish them the best. Things happen.
Absolutely.
People move on, and so good luck to them.
Absolutely.
And Holyfield is back in court. He owes $35,000 worth of child support, and I'm very surprised it's not more.
Right.
I'm surprised he doesn't
kids,
owe
right?
like $1 million or something. Yeah.
Right.
And $35K is not that bad for having, what, 12 kids?
Well, right. Then he said that they say there's more, but I only know about, what, 9, 10, 11, whatever. I mean, amount.
Yeah. Yeah, they said it's closer to 20. I have no words. I just feel like that's overly ridiculous.
It's just irresponsible.
I'd rather not comment. Yeah, that's just.
Right. Yeah.
Why, you know?
Especially you don't even know the kid.
Exactly. Why are you just spreading your seed? He definitely had something with all those kids.
Right.
Supposedly Brian McKnight came out with a second version of that song. I haven't heard it. I read something very briefly about it. Looking forward to kind of hip hop and whatever it's called, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta version. It's
Atlanta,
on
yeah.
Hood.
You know that.
It starts in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to definitely check it out and then give you guys an update. Al Dunkin from the radio, you remember her from the radio?
Mm-hmm. Here in Atlanta.
She was on the Ryan Cameron show for a while, and I believe she was on Wanda and
I mean, what's it? The morning show, yeah.
Yeah, the morning show. So she is back. Well, no one knows what happened to her. She got fired from the radio, but she's going to be doing some kind of segment on 11 Live in the mornings.
Okay.
So check her out. She's actually going to definitely be her first TV gig. So best of luck to her. I'm not sure what happened with her radio gig, but it's always good to see someone back, you know, back doing well and getting their career, moving their career forward.
Right.
Supposedly Monica and Brandy got beef again. Well, it's mostly, it's always, I think Brandy is just jealous of Monica, honestly. I read an interview where she said that the interview was canceled, or their tour was canceled.
Their tour,
she feels like Monica is in a different place.
Right, yeah.
Yes, Monica is married with kids. Obviously, she's in a different place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just.
She's saying she was too focused. She was more focused on her family than really doing the tour. Making
But why wouldn't she be? Why wouldn't she be? You know?
Right. They also said that there was something with
But she may be right. It may not be hating or anything. She may just be right, because sometimes you're in different places and you have to cut somebody off. That's true. So, you know, she may be right, because she's trying to. To, you know, revamp her music career, and Monica probably is not really focused on that. So I can see that, you know, where that may be a problem for both of them moving forward together. Not least, I'm sure there's tons of other stuff I have, but I just mentioned this really quickly. T.O. was released from the Arena Football team that he was on.
Right.
Which is ridiculous, because he wasn't showing up to different events, and he thought he was too good to, like, do, you know, a show for different promotional and charity stuff.
Right.
So they cut him from the team. And so now he's suing them, because he says that he was wrongfully terminated, but in his contract it was required that he showed up to those things. So they terminated him from the team, and his severance was
$50.
Now this man has, like, 5 or 6 kids. He needs his job. Why would you not? The thing is, I was actually rooting for him, hoping that he can get his life together and he wouldn't be the same T.O. cocky things he's, you know, God gift. After you hit rock bottom, you think you have some sense.
Right, yeah.
But obviously he doesn't. So
hopefully he gets it together, because, they say he's in a real bad place.
I mean, he's getting older, so he needs to hurry up.
Exactly.
Get it together.
So before we go to commercial, I read something today that I thought was funny. Related to entertainment. Did you hear about Brian McKnight and Chris Brown's Twitter beef? Well, Brian
now,
McKnight.
Now, why would he be beefing with him?
Well, Brian McKnight started. Everyone's saying he must be bored. But Brian, he said, since everyone is so opinionated, I'm taking suggestions on what I should do next. I'm thinking rent a limo and beat the out of my girl. And then he said, or maybe have sex with a 14-year-old girl and film it. That's acceptable these days. So they're saying that he took a jab at Chris Brown and R. Kelly. And so Chris Brown
still went in on his butt.
Well, R. Kelly, that I know of, didn't respond, but Chris Brown did. He said, see, this is how it works now. When people's career gets to the nobody cares stage, they use my name for publicity. LOL. I can't keep holding these old ends. It's a miracle the way I'm bringing the dead alive. He said, I would have gladly wrote you something that would have made you look less irrelevant. And then he called in Brian's new music trash. And then Brian tweeted something about he didn't mean to offend anyone. What do you say? I meant no disrespect to anyone. I was merely pointing out that in today's society, anything goes, and we are all to blame in the end. But it was just kind of interesting. Brian
McKnight
is
doing
this.
He keeps his mouth shut. Brian McKnight is going through a midlife crisis, like you said, and he needs to put the bottle down or something. I mean.
But anyway, let's take a quick commercial break. We come back with our wonderful guest, Mr. Trombone himself.
Barbara. What happened to Fashion?
She's not here today.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. You're listening now. You're listening to the Steve and Knight Talk Show on EOTM Radio. The Steve and Knight Show, Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on EOTMRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Steve and Knight Show. And for those that are wondering what happened to Janaira and Budget Shopaholic, she's actually out today, but she did update her website, BudgetShopaholic.com. So go there for the latest on her finds and getting those sales that I know all the women are very excited about. And some men out there, so definitely check that out. But Norman Jeff Bradshaw, a musician, recording artist, family man, and the trombonist extraordinaire with a charismatic and larger-than-life personality, recently released The Delicious Buffet of Musical Delight, his long-awaited sophomore album, amply titled Bon Appetit. A trombone master, Bradshaw delivers a collection of music rooted in jazz with a host of neo-soul and R&B artists, guests, including Marsha Ambrosio, Raheem Devon, Kindred, The Family Soul, Malaysia, Coco, PJ Morton, and introducing Brass Heaven. He joins us tonight to discuss his new project. Please help me welcome Mr. Trombone himself, Jeff Bradshaw. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on. Now, according to Billboard, in nearly 20 years' history of Billboard's contemporary jazz album charts, you, Bradshaw, is the only third act and the first since 2007 to chart three albums simultaneously. He follows Kenny G and John Tesh, who did it in various occasions. Bon Appetit, Volume 1, Main Course, also immediately becomes its highest charting album yet to pass the number 18 peak of 2003, Bone Deep. Now, I want to talk about your project in a minute, but first, before we do that, I was doing my research on you, and I learned something very important. And it's actually a correlation to a show we did 2 weeks ago on fitness and living a healthier lifestyle. But you recently lost 50 pounds, that's right?
Yeah, actually, as of last week, I'm down 63 pounds.
Wow. Congratulations.
Wow.
Thank you.
So what was your inspiration for losing the weight?
Well, I mean, honestly, I like wearing nice clothes. I always like looking nice on stage. I think, you know,
right.
My father, who I just buried a few months ago, who just left this earth, he was always a sharp guy. And, you know, my idol was my dad. He was a guy who ironed his T-shirts because he didn't want him to puckle up on his dress shirt, you know.
Right.
Sharp. You know, he was a real grown man. He was a man's man, you know. He dressed me for church, you know, he showed me how to dress, iron my clothes, and take care of yourself. Always look nice no matter where you go. You never know who you're going to see. And because of the father that I had, I was, you know, always like to look nice. So I think that knowing that I had a new album coming out and just basically looking in the mirror and not at my character or my personality or my good looks, but the fact that I the fact that I didn't like, you know, 298 pounds just didn't look good on me.
Yeah. So what were some of the ways that you dropped some of the pounds?
Well, basically, I hired a celebrity fitness trainer by the name of Jonas Palmer, who trains Dave Matthews and Tariq Black Thought Trotter and Questlove from The Roots. From touring with them, I got to know him, and he lived in my neighborhood, and I just talked to him about, you know, really wanting to get my brand together and really, you know, after my first album came out, you know, in 2003, I'm not Sade or D'Angelo, and I felt like my music was that powerful, and I needed my image and my brand to be that as well. So, you know, and, you know, I have four beautiful children, man. I just really wanted I want to be around for as long as I can and to live a very, very healthy lifestyle. So for all of those reasons, you know, all of those reasons are really important to me.
So what's some of the reaction you've gotten since the weight loss?
Well, you know, honestly, you know, I've never been, you know, a stranger to, you know, the ladies. You know, but it's a bit different, you know. They look at me a lot different, you know, after shows there are, you know, a lot of women hanging around and take pictures with you and you know, when you come to buy your CD, they want to sign, everybody wants a picture.
Right.
So I'm okay with it. You know, it seems like my shows now are like, you know, 90% women, 10% you know, guys. So it's a great thing. It's a great thing for me. It definitely is. It's a great thing for the music. It's a great thing for everything, for every me, my music, my image, my branding, everything that I'm trying to do. You know, just really excites the fan base.
Now you mentioned your dad, Norman Bradshaw, who was not only one of your biggest fans, but also accomplished trombonist, singer, and musician himself. And you talked about just how he inspired you, and growing up with that kind of influence. Is that what kind of got you into doing what you do, or was it always something you wanted to do anyway?
Man, I was born in my mother's womb. I was in college for music. I mean, I was born...
Wow.
I was born being able to play about 28 instruments, and growing up in church and having access to, I grew up in a church called United House of Prayer for All People. I was born and raised there, which is, you know, centered around gospel brass bands and all kind of, so I had music and musicians and singing and praise and all that going on around me growing up. My father was a master trombonist and guitarist and singer.
Yeah.
And so I had music around me the whole time, but, you know, whatever I needed in this life of my career, I was born with it. I wasn't afforded the opportunity to go to college or to go to music school, but, you know, that wasn't the plan that God had for me, because the first time I picked up an instrument, I could play it. You know, to God be the glory for all the things, you know, he's done in my career, because that's my story. I mean, I've taken lessons, obviously. I've taken lessons, and all the guys that I tour with, I always take lessons from trumpet players and trombone players and sax players and get lessons, because all of the guys that I call or take on tour, when I get called for tours, they all have degrees in music. Ironically, it kind of worked out that way. It's like, you know, it's like all the guys that I know, you know, all the guys that, you know, I call for tours, all the home players, they're the ones that all have the degrees. But I'm blessed to be humbled to be the one who was on the Philly scene and you know, forge relationships and to get the calls.
I hear that. Well, a lot has happened since you released your debut album back in 2003, and it was interesting when we announced that you would be a guest this week. A young lady that I know, she said, "Oh, I love him. And she said, "How come you haven't had an album so long?" What, you know, go however far you want to go with this, but why the huge gap between projects?
Well, it definitely wasn't a choice of mine, but, you know, I charge it to the business. You know, the business. I was signed to a label who had Jill Scott and Kendrick the Family Soul. You know, and you know, when you're a boutique label and you have an artist as big and as amazing as Jill Scott, who I credit for helping me get a record deal and teaching me in this business to be an artist, you just have to wait your turn. And sometimes and then, you know, the economy went bad, and, you know, everybody's just kind of holding on to their money to see what's going to happen with the music business. And, you know, but I won't complain, man. I mean, the last 8 years, I've been on tour every year for the last 8 years with Jay-Z and Mary J. Blige. And I was the musical director for Floetry for 4 years, and I toured two years with Tyler Perry, then I toured with The Roots. Then I toured with Kirk Franklin. You know, it's like I've been on tour every year, you know, and it's been a great learning experience. I've been recording this album for 5 years, you know, so as time went along, you know, a lot of things have happened. I got married, I almost made it 5 years, got divorced, I had a beautiful son for my marriage, and all of these inspirations and all these experiences, you know, seeing, you know, 2-3 continents, that, you know, parts of the world that people will never see, you know, I've been truly blessed, and all of those inspirations turned out into this double album. So although it has been since 2003, the music is fresh, the music is hot, and my image is right, and everything's hitting at the right time. You know, a year when Rob Glasper, Esperanza Spalding has thrusted this new jazz into the ears of music lovers. And here comes Bon Appetit, right in line, right in the right place at the right time. So God puts things right where they should be at the right time. And it was perfect timing for me. It's been 8 years, but it was perfect timing.
Right. And that's what I've learned, you know, even with me, I've been releasing a project for the last 2 years, it seems like. It happens in its own time, you know. Has the industry at all changed for you? You know, releasing the project in 2003 after releasing it in 2012. How all has it changed?
It changed for the better. And if you think about it this way, in 2003, there were no iPads, there were no iPhones, there was no iTunes. You know, the social media is a whole new world now. There's a whole new world. Better. I mean, it changed in a great way for me. Changed in a great way for artists and for musicers now.
Yeah, exactly.
People can be at your show, and your third song, they're like, oh, my God, I got this album. And if you don't have any albums to sell, they can pull out their iPhones and download your album right then and be listening to it on the way home. So and most ways, more than not, that things have changed for not just artists but musicians, for everybody, for the better. Because now the consumer can download your album right there and listen to it on the way home.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about Bon Appetit. Obviously, you said you've been working on this for 5 years now, and I know you enlisted a lot of very talented people to collaborate with on this project. How did you go about doing that? Were these people that you knew, or did the word get out? How did you get these people on your project?
Well, it's ironic, man. When you're an artist and when you're a musician, I've been touring for 17 years. So I've been touring with a lot of great artists. I've been on the road with a lot of people, met a lot of producers, a lot of managers, a lot of them were friends. The first album had Jill and Floetry and Glenn Lewis and Bilal and Darius Rucker from Hootie and the Blowfish and all those albums. So and Jill, this album. Was Marsha's my friend. I was the music director for Floetry. We're good friends. We did Butterflies together. I mean, we did a lot of great work together. We toured the world together. That's my friend. Raheem Devon, another good friend of mine. Natalie DeFlois is a Floetry. Another good friend of mine from Floetry. Mesa, I've just been a fan of hers for many years.
Yeah.
When I reached out to Mesa, I reached out to her about it. She was a fan of mine, and we immediately became friends. She came to Jill Scott's show. She's on the record. I mean, these people, I mean, P.J. Morton, people and artists that I admire, people that just wanted to be part of the project, and people that I reached out to that wanted to be a part of this movement that in contemporary instrumental music and contemporary jazz music, that people think that, you know, that the trombone is something that, Obviously, I'm proving that not to be true, but people look at the, you know, when people think contemporary jazz, they think of first probably saxophone, and then guitar and piano or other instruments. But I'm doing something with this instrument, you know, that has not been done, playing mainstream music with mainstream great artists, and it all makes sense, and it's a masterpiece. And I'm humbled by it. I'm glad to be a trailblazer. I'm thankful for the people who have come before me. That play the instrument, and all the way back to Fred Wesley from the JVs, you know, Funky Good Time, and all of those, you know, all of those hits that he had in the 70s. It's like now it's like the reinsurgence of people are broader. Even to the great young lion, Trombone Shorty out of New Orleans, who is doing great things with the trombone, playing that New Orleans funk soul and rock music with a trombone. I mean, he's also doing things with the instrument that hasn't been done at this level. What I'm doing is just playing with artists, with hip-hop artists, with soul artists, with soul divas, you know, with mainstream R&B artists like Marsha, you know, and Raheem Devon. These people who people love, revere in mainstream music, and taking an instrument that people are not used to seeing with it and adding a sexy man to it and delivering great music. And when you hear the stuff, when I look at Twitter and I see people talk about it, and people hit me up on Twitter, hit me up on Facebook, people come up to me in the street, in the malls. I just did over the weekend, I just played with the Roots again, and we played for I just left the stage over the weekend with like Rakim and De La Soul and Mos Def and Wale and meeting all these people and passing and giving a few of the guys my CD. I did Omi Says on the record, which features Fatine from Kendrick, and to hear these artists say, "Man, I heard about your record, man. People talking about you, Rob Glasper. Man, y'all doing it, man. Y'all keep doing it." You know, and it's like, because nobody's done it before me, and doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done. And I just think about people that have done things and went to areas like Floetry, a singer and a poet that broke through in mainstream radio.
Exactly.
It was only because, you know, they created a music with integrity, music that meant something.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't just meaningful music. It was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
You know, exactly. So that's what I'm doing, you know. I'm just trying to a lot of times people are apprehensive, and they say, because I sing a lot on the record too, and people say, "Oh, a trombone. Oh, okay, well, you know, let's hear it. Let's see what it's about."
Yeah,
you know, that, you know,
yeah, right? Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And when people hear my music, either on one of my albums or people see me live, they immediately get it.
Yeah,
and that's why, you know, Jill Scott's taking me on. Jill's taking me on the Block Party tour this month. It's my first tour. On a major tour, opening for Jill on the party tour, Jill and Kim, and this is gonna be a hell of a funky good.
Oh yeah, are y'all coming to Atlanta?
Yeah, we are. We hit Chastain Park on June 30th.
Okay, gotta check you out definitely. Now I know you said in a recent interview that this project basically tells your story in a sense. How would you say so? I know you said it's taking a while to do it, 5 years. Why would you consider it to be like a storytelling piece?
Well, the album is autobiographical because of, obviously, over the last 8 years, like I said, I got married. So I fell in love. I found love. I got married. Then I experienced the pain of love. I experienced rededicating my life to Christ and really getting closer to God and allowing him to guide my career, because I feel like that it can't happen this way, and it's not going to happen right without God being first in my life. So I kind of got my priorities in line and got God at the head of my life where he should be and always should be. And then things kind of lined up. So what I did was I just told my story. I told my story. These songs are of love. These songs are of love lost. These songs are of being thankful. Talking about songs on there called So Thankful, my duet with Coco from SWV. Talking about a song called So Rare, a song I sang with Mesa, talking about the love that I had with my wife, you know, was really rare, about what I found, our relationship, our happiness, our friendships, the good times, you know, and it's autobiographic. It talks about, you know, my love for my children. You know, in these songs, you can feel the journey of my life. You can feel the words that speak about God, the words that speak about love. And then songs that I love, Lay Your Head on My Pillow. You know, we're all Tony fans, you know. Raphael wrote a great write-up about the song. He was just like, Raphael Sadiq played trombone. How about that? He was a first chair. He wrote, you know, he was a first chair trombonist in school.
Oh, wow.
And when he heard that I was recording the song, he was a little apprehensive. But when he heard it, his words were, "Mr. Trombone, put lay your head on my pillow in the right place with a great performance," and reminded him of his days with Tony. I mean,
wow. So what does that feel when someone obviously, you know, we all loved this song back when it came out, and for you to redo it, and for the artist who was part of that to say, "Job well done." What does that mean for you as an artist?
It's just confirmation, man. It just I knew, because of the way I recorded it, and I know the type of artist that he is.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that if I record, you know, you got to mess with stuff. You got to touch it the right way. When you start touching people's stuff, man, you got to really, really do it the right way. And I respect I respect artists, just like I did Make It Funky. You know, you remake a James Brown song, not just, you know, sample it or play, like, you know how in gospel songs, R&B songs, people put little James Brown grooves and stuff. But when you actually remake a James Brown song, you got to really, really know what you're doing. And I just, I'm a fan of James Brown. You know, I'm a fan of James Brown's. I'm a fan of his music. And I had to call somebody who could be James Brown. And it was only two people, only three people that I felt like could play that role. It was Prince, D'Angelo, and Bilal. Prince, I couldn't afford. D'Angelo, I couldn't find.
Right.
So Bilal's, you know, Bilal's a Philly guy who lives in New York, and and a good friend of mine. And I called him, and we put it together, and it came out incredible.
Wow, wow. What's your dream duet? The one you want to work with?
Wow, Prince.
Prince. Yeah.
Definitely. He's a musician artist that he's a musician artist that I idol the most.
So we listen to Bon Appetit. Would you want the listener who's waited forever, it seems, to hear your new music? What do you want them to take away from this project?
I just want them to be able to put both CDs in, one behind the other, and just push play and just enjoy the ride of great music with integrity. I want to make sure that when I recorded it and when they hear it, they're going to feel the love. They're going to feel some pain. They're going to feel a very strong connection with the God that we all love and love and adore so much. And they're going to hear the integrity. They're going to hear integrity in the music. That's something my father always told me to have and something I live by, not just in music, but in life. You know, integrity. He used to always make me, tell him, he used to always say, live by integrity. What is integrity? And I used to tell him the definition of integrity, which is the quality of being honest, moral uprightness. And when you hear my music, you hear that. You hear that love. You hear the morality and my love for God, the morality in my love, the morality in Lay Your Head on My Pillow, the morality in So Rare. You know, you hear the honesty in my music. And it's not just some, it's some jazz album with a trombone. This is I'm just an artist, writer, producer, singer that just happens to play trombone, who's toured and recorded with the greatest artists in this country.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Bon Appetit Double Issues is a limited edition, which includes Volume 1 and Volume 2. Bon Appetit Volume 1 main course is available as a single CD through retailers Walmart, Best Buy, FYE, and independent record stores. Both volumes are available via digital download on iTunes and Amazon. So make sure you check it out. And I want to thank you for coming on, and I can't wait to get my hands on the project. We're going to be playing some of your songs in our next half hour on our playlist. So thanks again, man. Definitely have a great night.
Oh, man, thank you so much. Make sure everybody follow me on Twitter. I am Jeff Bradshaw. Mike, man, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on, man, and continue to support real, true music for our babies.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely be checking you out on tour coming soon, so we look forward to
that. Yes, sir. Thank you,
man. All right. Have a good one.
You too.
All right. As I said, we'll be playing some of his music off Bon Appetit album in the next half hour, so check it out.
I'm definitely looking forward to hearing some of it.
Absolutely. Me too. Me too. So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We're going to Stephen's Playlist.
BET, home of some of the greatest shows, such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites, such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 in Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes, or just want to read and catch up on BET News? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211. or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. This part of that commercial we just listened to reminded me of something. Did you hear that Roxy and Terrence are both leaving 106 and Park?
I'm sorry, say that again?
That Roxy and Terrence are both leaving 106 and Park coming soon.
To do what?
To pursue. Well, Terrence, you know, Terrence, Jay, he's been doing his acting and, you know, he's lined up for that. And then Roxy is rumored to be, has a new show coming out. She'll be part of a new show coming out on one of the cable stations. So
I remember when it was doing that VJ edition, and I remember when she auditioned for the show and everything. But I haven't watched 106 and Park in years, so
yeah,
I care less.
Yeah, I haven't either. Right. You care less?
I'm like, hey, it's not like she's free. And AJ,
right.
You know what I
mean? That's what everyone's saying, where it's free and AJ. But, you know, AJ's going, I think, on active.
Well, it won't work these days. Free and AJ, they not meant for these new stuff. These new kids are just something else. They ain't going to make it.
Right.
Free and AJ ain't going to make it.
Exactly. They be rolling out with them. But now it's time to go on to see what's playing with. As you know, we receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured during this segment. Each week we select artists to play on our playlist, and tonight our playlist features songs from Jeff Brashaw, who we just spoke with, and the last recording from the late, great Whitney Houston for her movie Sparkle that will be released later this summer. If you're interested in being featured on Stephen's playlist, please email us at thestephennightshow@gmail.com and attach one or two songs, your bio, one or two promotional pictures. All songs must be edited for radio, meaning no curse. We definitely look forward to hearing from you. Now, the first song is by Mr. Trombone himself, Jeff Brashaw, featuring Raheem Devon and Ms. Jade, entitled Until Tomorrow. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
Enjoy, everyone.
Your screamer too.
In the bedroom.
I just wanna be your lover. Make it detonate and explode with you.
I won't
get this hell.
I hope you
don't be pressed for time or pressed to leave.
Since you are your toes, I just wanna turn your toes.
Just wanna stretch and bend ya. Wanna be the one that got to live up, baby.
Daddy, I could be a little freak. Or we could do it real slow, get a little beat.
No, no.
God damn, you a little beef. Intoxicating without great use for him to see. Make you run, call out the way you work for me. Screaming all crazy, maybe Christ ain't hurting me. Take time, night till tomorrow. Do it anywhere, the house or the car, yeah. Love is a problem, I don't want to call. I need to hit, so that's why I go. Fantasizing about the last time. This last time was shit like my last rhyme. I'm gay, no halftime. You can get it all, you can have it all night long till tomorrow.
drama. Godfella to the eyes of odd fella. I'm the new breed in this league, I'm Carmella. And I mean that in more than one way, I'm Karma and Yella. But that ain't what I'm here to promote, no. I see you sinking, Skipper. Saw when it bought you a boat, and I call it the Titanic. And Christ is the captain of the ship, so don't panic. Cause we ain't drowning, I don't care what it looks like. We ain't drowning in my life. Like I done met Katrina, sisters, they bought racket like Venus and Serena, sister. But since I'm a boxer, I just roll with the punches. I don't do a lot of ducking, I stand, man. And if I get knocked down, I stand again. Once I get back up, now put that in your brain like a backup. But when you think you can't get back up, New Orleans, get back up.
Looking up. got that mental telepathy. Meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga, bread they popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm. Sex in the greatest form, then hibernate under my body. And yep, I keep you warm at the end of chinchilla. You know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week you're my five-course
baby
meal for real.
Maybe we can fall in love.
greatest shows such as Monique, Let's Stay Together, The Game, Steve Harvey, Everybody Hates Chris, Master Mix, and many more. BET is also famously known for their featured blog sites such as Spotlight, What the Flick, Stay Tuned, Head Over Heels, Sound Off, and a wide variety of others. So the next time you're flipping through your channels, tell a friend to tell a friend about BET and BET's video library. Also, don't forget to catch the countdown on 106 and Park with Roxy and Terrence. Do you want your chance? You feel as if you got what it takes? Or just want to read and catch up on BET news? Tune in to www.bet.com or send your thoughts and opinions through mail to BET Network, 1235 W Street, Northeast, Washington, D.C., 20018-1211, or phone BET Network at 202-608-2000. This commercial was brought to you by EOTM Radio and Classic City Records.
Hope you enjoyed Steven's playlist. I got to give a special shout-out to our guest tonight, Mr. Trombone himself, Jeff Redshaw. He definitely brought it tonight, and I enjoyed his music that we played in the playlist. So make sure you check it out. Again, his album, Bon Appetit.
Oh, I've been on mute.
Oh, you know what I mean? Bon Appetit, Double Issues, is a limited edition, which includes Volume 1 and Volume 2. Bon Appetit Volume 1 Main Course is available as a single CD through retailers Walmart, Best Buy, FYE, and independent record stores. Both albums are available via digital download at iTunes and Amazon, so make sure you check those out. Also, the Whitney Houston Jordan Sparks duet Celebrate is now available on iTunes, and His Eyes on Sparrow will be out in a couple weeks, so definitely look out for both of those. And continue to send your music in. I'm listening to them, I'm liking them, and we're playing them, so continue to do that, and have some great shout-outs.
Send them
up
in.
Ms. Parker, what's your week looking like?
Week's looking like work, and more work.
Can't wait for the weekend.
It's summertime, so.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the week
that
to be over, like always, just counting down the days. I'm excited about the Olympics starting in a couple of months, so.
Absolutely. We'll definitely be covering that, too. We want to thank you all at home for listening to us. Continue to spread the word. We have big things coming. Until next week, God bless.
Have a good one, everyone.